Good morning, welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are going back to the future this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know why? Because there are zero COVID deaths registered yesterday. The last time that happened was, I can tell you now, 447 days ago. That was in March 2020, before all of this madness actually started, when everyone thought it wasn't going to be too bad, before they started warning us that it was all going to be terrible. But now we are back where we started, right? Zero COVID deaths. There are still a few mealy-mouthed people out there going, oh yeah, but it's only because it's bank holiday. I've never understood why they don't count on bank holiday or why they don't count on the weekends. But it was one the day before. So let's see, grand total of 2 days, one. Okay? We'll see how it goes tomorrow. Tony Buxton is here. She's going to be talking about Freedom Day, June 21st. I don't think it's not going to happen. I don't think they would have the cojones to stop it from happening now, because take a look around you. Look on the beaches where everybody is today. Look in the parks where everybody is today. Look in the outdoor bars. Look in the outdoor cafes. People are going out and about, enjoying themselves, drinking, eating, even maybe philandering. Who knows? It's that sort of day. And I want you to join in. 0344 499 1000. Not with the last bit, of course, as well. We'll also be talking about the big Freedom Day march of the weekend. Tonya was there. She sent some great videos out. She's going to be telling us what it was like, why it is that it's demonised by so many people in the media, and what is wrong with wanting your freedom back. What's wrong with it? 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on the fastest growing radio station on the planet. It is, of course, Talk Radio.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio.
Delightful to see you once more, Tonya. Thank you very much for coming in. You're looking very well.
It's a sunny day. I'm smiling.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make a big difference?
It really does.
And it does feel
as though
we're kind of emerging butterfly-like, does it not, from the cocoon of winter.
And I think the weather's telling us it's time that all of this is over now. Yeah. Lockdown should be over now.
Yeah.
Before I talk about the protest march, the freedom march, I really want to say one thing that, and I say this every time I come to you, is that I'm coming here as a working mother who I want the best for all. Mm. I want the best for all. I don't have an agenda. I'm not a politician. I don't get any money. I do this.
You're not looking for votes.
I'm not looking for votes. I'm just here and I want the best for all. And all those people that were walking in that protest were like me. Mm. There's always some weirdos. Every march you go to, there's some weirdos.
Yeah.
So there were some of those. Always is. But I think, and we're not quite sure of the numbers, but we think in excess of 750,000 people.
It looked like a almost hell of a lot of people
to me. There's a million. We're not sure. What's really funny is that Sky News sent helicopters up on the first one, where there was only about 25,000, 30,000 people. And yet this one's really big news, and they didn't bother sending anyone out. And actually the only person in mainstream media who mentioned us was Damien Gale, who wrote a piece of The Guardian. And he did actually say there were substantial amounts of people there. And the people that were there were just normal people like me. They're not. Why are we being called anti-vaxxers and freaks and conspiratorial people and all these awful names? I don't call people names who have opposing views to me. I just want to have a conversation with them about it.
Right.
So all the people there, and like I said, there are some heartbreaking stories there, which I find really difficult to deal with. You know, speaking to mums who've lost
children.
Because
you were with a lot of mothers, weren't you?
Yeah, there were mothers whose children committed suicide over the lockdown period.
Right.
A lot of them are very young. You know, they were young.
Mm.
You know, under 40-year-olds, 20-year-olds, teens, cases like that. And so things like that absolutely break my heart. Mm. People who've lost family members because of cancer, not getting diagnosed in time, not being able to get the treatment in time. So these are people who have true loss. I met one man who'd lost his business, a couple of people actually who'd lost their businesses, couldn't afford to do it to work anymore. And even he said, even with the restrictions that were, because people kept saying, what are you marching for? Lockdown's over. It's not.
No, it isn't.
Because if you have you work in hospitality or a pub and you still have to get the extra staff to do bar service for table service, then you are working at half capacity, but you're paying full rates.
Yes.
So it's not over. These people are not making a profit. They're not getting back off their knees.
Also, there are plenty of pubs in this country that cannot reopen yet because either they don't have any outdoor space or inside it's not big enough to get enough people in. I mean, we were doing a story today at this pub in Devon, and funnily enough, I started off by thinking that they'd be crazy for stopping the tourists from coming. But they've got seven tables, right?
Yeah.
Now, they say, quite rightly, that the locals who come to their pub every single day and every week and who keep them going should not be banned from coming in just because a coachload of you know, ramblers has turned up.
Yeah.
And I think, in a way, that's actually right.
I see where they're coming from, but the point is that there should be no restrictions anymore. I mean,
right.
I don't understand. So we've had zero deaths of COVID, but we've had in that same report, 980 people died of either cancer or heart disease, yeah. many of which were caused by the lockdown.
Yes.
Don't forget.
Well, we've always said this, haven't we? 1,600 people a day die in this country.
And, exactly.
You know, of course it's sad, but we don't have a nightly report about it.
Absolutely not. I mean, how many people died of falling down the stairs? Something ridiculous, like four people. Is no one yeah. going to walk the stairs again? I mean,
right.
don't be ridiculous. Mm. But my point is that we should have no restrictions now. I don't know what's going on. They're talking about cases. We know the cases is rubbish. Mm. Still to this day, the PCR tests don't work. Mm. We know they don't work. They're not foolproof, and they give very many.
Well, they're certainly
positives.
Indicative, but they don't necessarily prove anything.
They don't prove anything.
If you want to use it for anything, you have to get another test.
Absolutely. The guy that invented it said you could find almost anything you wanted by using this test.
Yeah.
That's what, and he's the guy that invented it. So yeah. if he says that, then that's the truth
right.
of it. There's
the whole testing regimen has kind of fallen apart.
It
the scenes
really
anyway.
Who's taking any?
You know, I mean,
it?
My kids were told, you know, make sure you take a couple of tests while you're off on half term. And they're not doing it.
No, of course not.
Because nobody is.
But what was the point of it?
Yeah.
For what reason? So they can have cases to loom over us. Are hospital beds filling up? Are people dying? No, they're not.
No.
We must get back to normal. I mean, I personally, this is my opinion, not Talk Radio's opinion, but I do think we all have to follow what Lord Sumption said, that if by the 21st of June we are not all free, and that's it's, we must start gently doing what we feel in our conscience
yes.
is right, and that might not be necessarily law-abiding,
mm.
but we have to stop following laws that are silly and wrong,
yeah.
because these laws have been brought in emergency status, and who's to say that they're right? They're wrong.
But also, does anyone actually know what the laws are? Because I don't think many people do. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, how many people could you have in your garden? I don't know.
No, I don't.
But I'll tell you what, if I want to have some people in my garden, they're coming to my garden. Same goes for, you know, if you go out, how many people are you allowed to have at a table? Well, supposedly six. Well, can you have two tables? People are ringing up pubs and restaurants
yeah.
and basically telling them lies so they can go out with 12 people. That's
exactly.
going on.
But hang on, in my family, there's eight of us.
Right.
So if there's only, this is what we had the last time when it's a table of six, you know, who do I leave home
yeah.
if I go out for dinner?
But if that's your household,
home.
You
that's
can have
my
all
household.
Of them. But then you can have all of them.
No, you couldn't the last lockdown. It didn't matter if it was one household.
Right.
This time you can have all of them. But
right.
the last time you had to choose six.
Yeah.
And it's all bonkers. I'm
real sick of it.
I just
though.
Can't take the no logic, no science.
Yeah.
There is no real grounds for any of these things going on. We must just stop. It's freedom for all. We must all open up completely now. There is absolutely no excuse for any form of measures. And as I said to you last week, anyone who's wearing a mask after the 21st of June must hate the planet.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, though, those single-use masks, those plastic masks, are killing the ocean. 1.94 billion are worn a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so nearly 2 billion
and also,
worn
if
a day.
You are
a week,
wearing a mask,
sorry, a week
if
in the
you're
world.
Wearing a mask and then throwing it away
yeah.
after one use,
yeah.
then that's a massive waste of resources, isn't it?
Well,
so I think a lot of people aren't even doing that, which means that actually a lot of the time they're wearing a mask which is actually contaminated.
But the masks don't. The masks do not work in stopping a virus.
Mm.
Like I said, if you're especially these people that have walked past lots of people today on the tube wearing cloth masks.
Yeah.
Now that cloth mask, if I was going to sneeze, okay, that cloth mask would stop it going 20 feet and just
yeah.
go 10 feet. But who sneezes without putting their hands or a tissue in front of their mouth?
Right.
Who does that?
No, yeah.
So they do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. And the single-use ones just pollute the planet. They are really killing wildlife.
But if the person wearing it thinks it's doing them good, you have a problem with that?
I do, because I think it's part of the fear-mongering brainwashing that this whole nation has been put through. And we know this is true because of Laura Dodsworth's book, Say
yeah.
to Fear. She kind of categorically breaks all the facts down there as the psychological operation that's been done on us. And the fear, I mean, I've got an aunt who's lovely and was the most dynamic aunt in the world, and now she will not come out of her house.
Mm.
If you've got the TV on all the time.
I mean, I know some
older
people who are concerned about that.
If you've got the TV on all the time. And I couldn't tell her that I'd gone on the protest march. She'd be horrified.
Right.
And the thing is if she's watching BBC or any of the mainstream media, she's not going to hear about it. And that, for me,
that is extraordinary,
is so
isn't it?
Sinister.
And
Mike,
us-
it makes me really uncomfortable that
yeah.
I'm... This is the news channel that's supposed to report the news.
Mm.
And this is like being in China, in Korea, in some communist Stasi state where they only report what they want to report.
Yeah.
And then when they do report, like I think ITV said, a few hundred people. So that's an out-and-out
right.
lie. So our broadcast, mainstream media that we trust, that I... innocently thought told us the truth. I don't believe them, because if they tell one lie there, a few hundred people, and I know it was just under a million,
yeah.
then so they've lied about that. Once you're a liar, you're a liar.
Yeah.
That's as far as I'm concerned. I don't believe anything that comes
yeah,
out
listen,
of their mouth
anymore. I was very reluctant, I would say, even as recently as 3 or 4 years ago, to not defend any journalist that was attacked by someone. But now, What some of the things that I've seen since Brexit, really, and the way that the BBC behaved during that, the way the mainstream television channels and radio channels have appeared to not represent those people they don't agree with, I've found it quite embarrassing. You know, and I now don't call myself really a journalist as such. I call myself part of the people because that's how it feels. It feels as though it's them versus us. It feels as though they are trying to disguise what's really going on and convince people that something else is happening.
So when did that shift happen?
Well, I think it was Brexit.
Was it Brexit?
I think it was Brexit.
Because I think what it was is, and I know from family and friends that I've got up north who feel that, you know, that they've been let down by many things, whether rightly or wrongly. They firstly weren't allowed to have a conversation, whether it be Brexit or whether it be lockdown. You're not allowed to have a conversation. And that's the thing. There are people on television now who are absolutely for lockdown. Mm. And I am absolutely against it. But I can't go on and have a conversation with that person. And if they do have conversations, like Beverly Turner, who did the other day on This Morning, it's like a 3-to-1 attack.
Yeah.
And the facts that they're saying on air, so there's, you know, presenters on a mainstream channel giving erroneous facts to the public.
Right.
It's
this was
really
when she
worrying.
Was saying, well, it doesn't guarantee that you can't pass on COVID if you get the vaccine.
It doesn't.
And they were arguing with her. And she was like, well, she was right. There's no question about that.
She was speaking the science. Yeah. And yet they were arguing with her. You're not. What's happened to having open debate about everything?
Right.
Since when did Britain become a country of censorship?
Yes. Well, Brexit is what happened. And it makes no accident, I think, that most of the people who will be the most vociferously against freedom are the people that wanted to stay in the European Union. And I don't want to say it like that, but I'm afraid that's kind of how it works itself out. Most of these Ramoners have now become lockdown fanatics. And that and most people who wanted Brexit are much more likely to want freedom.
Well, I'm the anomaly then, because I wanted to remain.
Yeah.
But I didn't know enough about it, I'll be honest. I really didn't know enough about it, and I didn't vote. But in my thoughts, because I didn't know, but I felt unprepared, so I didn't vote. But I was happy to remain. But since seeing what's happened since Brexit, if there was another referendum, I would be voting to go out, because Europe seems to hate Britain.
Yes.
It hates us.
Well, certainly
so
the European Parliament does.
The European Parliament,
Europe itself, it's a bit like Scotland and the arguments about Scotland, where people are saying, oh, you know, the Scots don't like us here. They don't want us going up to Scotland. That's absolutely not true. You know, there are people in Scotland who want independence, who are politicians and who are politically motivated, who make out that England is the source of all problems. That's not Scotland. And I speak as somebody whose family comes from Scotland, you know, and I know both countries very well.
Yeah.
And I have many friends in Scotland who, one, want to remain in the European, in the United Kingdom, and who don't want independence and who love the English. And, you know, there's people married to English. You know, it's ridiculous to try and create this division.
But it's the media. It's
but it's these people who are creating division.
But it's this whole divisive way of doing things. And we're not, you know, I'm all about joy. I mean, I Matthew Wright, for example, who was on that television show, fighting for vaccines. I don't think that he loves his child less than I love my child or things like that. But I want to have a conversation about it.
I don't love his ponytail. I don't know what's going on with that.
No, I'm not sure about that.
Looks like he's got a wrapped tape to the back of his head.
I'm not keen on that. But anyway, it's his choice. That's the point, isn't it, Mike?
Of course it is.
It's his choice. Right. He wants to have strange 80s weirdo hair. That's fine. It's his choice. Mm. And that's the thing that's missing now. We're missing open arguments, or not arguments, open discussions.
Yeah.
Just, and it doesn't have to be nasty. I don't call anyone any names. And I'm going to come off this show now.
Right.
And Twitter's going to be full of people calling me names.
And they'll be calling you irresponsible. At worst, they'll call you a murderer.
Oh, yeah. Where's my medical degree from Bill Gates? But Bill Gates doesn't have a medical degree.
Yeah.
And yet he's advising the whole world what to do.
Neither do half the people at Sage.
Oh, I know.
Half of them are behavioural scientists.
Exactly. So it's not medical degrees.
There was one guy I was castigating at the weekend who was giving advice on what we should do about the lockdown. He's a mathematician. Now, I'm sure he's very good at maths. But what's that got to do with COVID?
Exactly.
Or me? Yeah. Or my ability to go anywhere without wearing a mask? It's nothing to do with mathematics, I don't think.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. And again, it's all about people control. But you know, the why is the thing that Laura Dobbsworth couldn't answer either. We don't know why this is happening.
She was at the march as well, wasn't she?
She was. She's a fantastic, brilliant woman. Mm. So we want to know the why. But while we're trying to find out the why, it's time to stop. We've got to be open for all.
Yeah.
We don't want vaccine passports. And we don't want to have to do tests to go into places. No one died of COVID. Mm. So we can just continue as usual, go back to the freedoms we had and start living that life and actually start addressing, for me, the conversation should all be about collateral damage.
Of course.
The mental health of people. I mean, some of the things that happened over lockdown, people just don't want to talk about. Mm. 20% of non-accidental infant injuries, head injuries. Do you know what that means?
Mm.
That means 20% more babies were smacked around the head during lockdown. Do you get that?
Yeah.
And yet you don't want to talk about that. No, we don't talk about the collateral. I'm a COVID idiot. I'm a denier. This is what I get when I want to talk about children or the mental health that everybody's going through. I've never seen
such a
Well,
also the difficulty of lots of children. And I mean, yes, they were able to go back to school. And I can see that you get worked up about this. And I'm glad that you do. And that's why I want
you
to be
upset.
Here. No, of course. But I mean, children who have been locked in their rooms effectively. Not lucky children who live in nice houses, but I'm talking about kids who don't even have a room to be locked in. They might have a room that they share with two or three other siblings. They don't have three Apple laptops, you know?
Exactly.
They might have one computer or one very cheap tablet. You know, nobody seems to care about them.
They don't care at all. And if they really, if this government really cared, or the people running, because I don't blame the Tories. I think the Labour are just as bad. I think they're all just as bad. I don't trust any politicians
Rodgers,
anymore.
Rodgers, as he's now known. Keir Starmer. Rodney.
Is it Rodgers?
Real name.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
I'm just going to keep calling him that.
Yeah. My point is that we have to. Why didn't we? We know, okay, for example, and I keep harping on about this, 80% of people that died or were very sick of COVID, for example, were overweight or obese.
Yeah.
So why didn't we, right at the beginning, start doing things like cookery lessons online, exercise things, and that be part of the curriculum, and still continuing that instead of kind of pushing takeaways
and pushing people to stay home. I have a big bugbear about, and which nobody has done anything about yet. My kids' school, right? They have school dinners, but they have some pretty appalling stuff that they provide them with. You know, a pasty here, that awful Yoo-hoo stuff, that chocolate milk that they drink. Why is that being sold in school?
Outrageous.
Why?
It's, you know, I'm going to stand up and start beating my fists now because it's outrageous. Full of hydrogenated fats, full of glucose, fructose, sugars. Yep. These are the things that make you sick and fat.
And if my son wanted to go to the refectory or whatever they call it and buy 10 of them, and drink them all through the course of the day. Nobody's stopping
it. No, it's just, it's wrong, and it's sinister, and it's wrong, and it's all about money, and it's stopped being about children and what's good for them a long time ago. We need to put the brakes on everything and rethink it and start again in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, I've told you about my son's encounter with his home ec people.
Yeah.
You know, they don't encourage kids to be creative. They don't encourage them to be healthy. They just encourage them to do what they're told.
Yeah.
Every single lesson is about how to do what you're being told what to do. It's instead of saying to them, how about you think for yourself? What do you think about it? Because I'm interested in my 14-year-old's views on the world.
Yeah.
Why are they not interested?
I don't understand what's happening at the moment in schools. I mean, I really think it's kind of, there are some amazing teachers out there, but the problem with the amazing ones is that they're being clipped as well because they have to tick all these boxes. So if you are the type of teacher that wants to listen to the child and say, you know what, we're not going to do that today. We're going to go and sit outside in the sun and do science stuff today.
Well,
you're not allowed to do that now.
What happened to the guy in Batley? You know, he thought he'd have an interesting class and start talking about a cartoon, and suddenly he had death threats and had to go into hiding.
And is still in hiding. In Britain.
Yeah.
Astonishing. A free speech country.
Astonishing. So tell us a bit about the march. You know, where did you go? Who did you meet?
I mean, so many people, and everyone, and lots of people came up and said, I've heard you on the radio.
Excellent.
And came up and chatted and took pictures. It was really lovely. But the main thing about that march is it was quite joyous. People were there.
It looked like it.
And also, a lot of people felt like a weight had been lifted off their shoulders, because what you're getting from the mainstream media makes you think there aren't people like you that don't think like you.
Right.
And it's almost like people are speaking a different language. When I'm listening to the news today, this morning before I came, and I'm hearing about, well, you know, there's been no COVID deaths, but we might not be able to take all restrictions out by the 21st of June. It's like you're speaking Japanese to me. Well, explain to me how that makes sense. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And so everybody feels that way. So finding like-minded people there to walk along.
Yes.
Families, so many families, so many young people, diversity across the board. I mean, it really was, everyone was there. But for me, the hardest part is seeing people who have lost family members because of lockdown, and they're not getting heard. That's the biggie for me.
Right.
That's the one that I think is, we've got to stop that. These people have to be given a voice. Mm. You have to. They're not even interviewed. You know, some little piddly things happens and it's on the news and being interviewed. But we should be speaking to more people that have lost family members through illnesses because they didn't get seen during lockdown, or suicides, or all the kind of massive mental health that's going on at the moment. Parents really struggling with their children, not knowing how to deal with
them. Because if there is anything that will be good that comes out of an inquiry, I'm not entirely sure there will be, Those people need to be represented. You know, they need to get a voice for that inquiry. Not just did Boris do the right thing, you know, were Sage right or wrong. What about the people who suffered?
But I don't trust anyone anymore, Mike. That's what's happened during this year. I don't. Who's doing the inquiry? Unless Lord Sumption's doing the inquiry and people like him, then I don't trust them. I don't trust it because I know that MPs have given jobs for to make face masks and to make PPE to their mates.
Right.
I don't trust them anymore. I'm Greek, okay? So I come from a culture, I'm British born, but I'm Greek, a culture where everything's about the money and everything's done under the table. You've got to know someone. It's all a bit crooked.
Yeah.
But it's my culture. It's the Mediterranean culture. Yeah. It's that's what I loved about Britain is it isn't like that. Mm. You know, very straight, stiff upper lip, do the right thing. But clearly we've seen throughout this that there are dodgy dealings going on across the board. So what? Do an inquiry. Unless it is Lord Sumption, who I completely trust and feel he is an honourable man, then I don't believe anyone else. And the other thing is people like me and Beverly Turner and lots of the other people that have a bit more of a status in media, we have everything to lose for standing up.
Yeah, you do.
I've lost jobs, absolutely lost jobs, because I can't be quiet about lockdown.
Right.
So stop saying I'm a COVID idiot. Stop calling me names. The only reason I'm here sitting talking to you is because I feel it in my heart that we have to change. This has to change. Something has to change. What's happening now is sinister and it's wrong. And we have to change it. We have to open up, allow our schools to teach properly. Don't even have that kind of hanging over your head that you're going to get into another lockdown. It's going to happen again. I tell you from now, I'm going to say this statement now. British government, you have this time to sort the NHS out. We will not lock down again in the autumn because the NHS is such a mess to save the NHS.
Exactly.
I'm not locking down again to save the NHS. My mother-in-law is just scraping through cancer because the NHS failed her. Mm. And I think we've come through the other end, only because I was screaming like a madwoman to get her there. Yeah. Many, many people have lost their lives. I don't believe that Britain should shut down again to save the NHS.
No.
It has to... All that money that they're spending on frightening people, that they're still spending another $322 million till 2023. Why are they still spending money till 2023 to frighten people? That money has to go into the NHS.
Yeah, it does. But every time they put money into the NHS, it just seems to disappear. But Tonya, this is great to see you.
Lovely
and I'm so
you.
Glad that you're so fired up about this, because we should all be. That's the point. That's what we are at Talk Radio. We tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We don't hold anything back. And if you want to have an argument with me or you want to insult Tonya Buxton, you'll have to deal with me as well. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.